Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, looking out over our pine forest, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization. Yeah, things are breaking down around us. We know that. We're defining that all the time on this program. But at the same time, God is good to us. We get a vision from His Word, and we do what we can to retain the faith, family, freedoms in the present day. But things are not going all that well out there. 53% of kids born to younger women 30 years of age are born out of wedlock. That's right. The majority of kids right now born in America to new moms are born out of wedlock, which means that the next generation or two are going to be dysfunctional unless, by God's grace, they are salvaged. Unless, by God's grace, the preaching of the gospel, that is, calling men and women to repent of their sins and to come for forgiveness to the cross of Jesus Christ, unless something changes. Unless something changes about the moral behavior of people out there because they've been to the cross of Jesus Christ and have dealt with the power and the guilt of sin, unless something changes, friends, you can kiss this civilization goodbye. All right, a lot of this started some 45 years ago. 1967 was the year that Colorado was the first state to legalize abortion, and Dave, today's the 45th anniversary of that fateful day when Republican Governor John Love signed the first abortion bill to legalize abortion on demand in the state of Colorado, and that happened, friends, in the United States of America. And that happened in 1967, 45 years ago. Dave, we revisit the irony over and over and over again. It was Republican Governor Love. And I feel bad for his kids and grandkids. I don't know if they're listening, but boy, there better be some repentance on the part of Republicans, not just Governor Love's family, but I'll tell you what, there ought to be a lot of repentance, a lot of prayer, fasting, a little bit of tearing of clothes and sackcloth and ashes would be nice as well over the tens of millions of babies who have been slaughtered in this country since 1967 when this state, and I'm embarrassed for my state, the state I live in right now, I'm embarrassed for this state. Because, friends, this was the state that legalized abortion for the first time in the United States. Now, Mississippi did it in the case of rape and incest, and that was about a year earlier. But it was Colorado that just full sweep prepared the way for Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, Colorado. 45 years of killing our children.
Yeah.
45. We could put that on our license plates.
Yeah.
45 years of killing our children.
Yeah, 45 years of killing kids. That's what we're good for here in the Colorado. Dave, and Colorado has a terrible, terrible reputation. It's not a pro-family state. Never been a pro-family state. It's been filled with brothels. It's been filled with cowboys, miners, and granted, you know, there's some godly cowboys out there, but hey, a lot of cowboys were loners. They didn't have families. They didn't get married. They didn't raise strong families. Colorado's not been known for a strong family state. And many of these Western states known for feminism, too. In fact, Wyoming is right up there. They're the first feminist state in America. They have monuments to feminism up at the Wyoming Capitol. I've been up to Cheyenne a number of times and viewed these huge monuments to feminism in America. Why? Because out here in the West, we're individualists and we hate family by and large. We hate family. We absolutely love the idea of fragmenting families. So there's no unity in households at all in the West. And divorce, highest rates in America out here in Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, and Colorado. Highest rates in America. And of course, America has the highest rate of divorce of any developed nation in the world today. And ladies and gentlemen, we are a covenant-breaking country. Granted, we had some kind of a legacy of freedom. We rejected socialism for a while, but by and large, anarchy and libertarianism eventually turns over to socialism, and that's what's happening out here in the West. And until we bring in a biblical approach to pro-family, pro-moral lifestyles, where we are not the Wild West libertarian anarchists that live life for ourselves and refuse to sacrifice for our own wives and children, unless we become what God wants men to be and building godly families, friends, you're going to be stuck with a horrific form of individualism, anarchism, libertarianism, and of course socialism, because anarchists and libertarians always turn into socialists when they retire. You know why, Dave, don't you? You know, you get a 72-year-old woman who's been a feminist, a libertarian, an anarchist all her life. Eventually, she needs the state to take care of her in her old age because she has no decent relationships and family and marriage. She has no decent relationships with her kids because she busted up all her relationships over her lifetime. And friends, without family relationships, church relationships, without those covenantal relationships, we don't have a Christian socioeconomic system. And that's what we advocate on this program. Well, in just a moment, we're going to just take a break here because I personally think we ought to pray off air and ask for God's forgiveness for the fact that we have become such selfish people to destroy tens of millions. At this point, some say it's 50 million. I think it's closer to 100 million children have been destroyed in America by means of Margaret Sanger's abortifacient birth control pill. And by the way, the birth control pills, by and large, I don't think there are any exceptions to this. There may be, but most birth control pills have abortifacient qualities. So there's a lot of people who've taken that birth control pill and have aborted their kids since the 1960s. And of course, the day after pill is being used five times the incidence of surgical abortions in America today. And that's Planned Parenthood's records. And that means that we have five times the incidence of abortions going on right now. And this whole idea that there's only, you know, somewhere around 1.5 million abortions in America today. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There are closer to 5 to 6 to 7 million abortions going on in this country in any given point in time because of that day after pill, the abortifacient birth control pill and surgical abortions. Friends, there are 6, 7, 8 million abortions going on in this country in any given year, which means over a period of 45 years, that's going to be upwards of 300 to 320 million abortions that were caused by parents who took those pills and by parents who went into those abortion clinics over the last 45 years. Okay, that's the nation we've become, a nation that's just filled with innocent blood and shedding innocent blood, a nation that is as existentialistic, as narcissistic, as self-oriented as you could ever, ever, ever imagine. We better repent of this kind of thing and begin to follow Jesus, who gave up his life for us. And we need to start giving up our lives for at least the children that we bear, the children we bring into this world. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, a homeschool father of five. I have four daughters and a son. We're raising them out here on the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of the family, and the breakdown of a respect for human life, and trying to bring a different vision to bear. We really want to have a social system. We want to have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We don't want a divorce rate of 50% in our family. We do not want a single parent rate of 53%. Among our children and grandchildren, friends. That's not our vision. Now, let's talk for just a moment, Dave, about raising daughters. If you do a Google search for raising daughters on Google, here are the words that you find immediately: self-reliance, independence, purposeful, public leadership, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Dave, you don't find the biblical words involved in raising daughters. That is, there is no biblical vision for the most part. And I'm talking about Christian sites as well. I don't find many biblical words used for the raising of daughters. And there are biblical words. Titus chapter 2 has got some stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You find it in Proverbs 31. You find some great descriptive words. I mean, the Bible has vision for raising daughters. And guys, not rocket science, okay? Now, I know people are saying, yeah. But I think the world's got something here. I think we want to raise our daughters according to the way the world wants us to raise our daughters. I mean, hey, 53% of these gals, these young gals, are having kids out of wedlock. That's right, 53%, the majority. And whatever the majority is doing has got to be right. And so I'm just going to go to the web. I'm going to find out the kind of words that are out there. Independent, self-reliant, purposeful, prepared for public leadership. That's the kind of thing I want for my daughters. And here's one more word, lesbian. Okay, that's another one, Dave. Of course, the majority of women are living by themselves today. They're not living with fathers, they're not living with brothers, and they're not living with husbands. They're living by themselves, and the largest socialist voting bloc in America are single women. So, Dave, I think we understand the agenda here. I think we understand why Barack Obama is president of the United States. He is incredibly popular with single women. Incredibly popular. In fact, if you want a communist in the White House in the year 2020, you have got to get more daughters raised with the worldview, the independent mindset, the worldview that is presented by the Girl Scouts of America. Okay, Dave, now we're going to go to the Girl Scouts of America because this is, I mean, you talk about Chevrolet, apple pie in America. Okay, Ford, apple pie in America. I know there are some Ford people out there. Okay, if you want to talk about what America is all about, okay, you're talking about the Girl Scouts. These people show up every year about this time of year selling their cookies outside of the grocery stores across America. Now, Dave, if you go to the website for the Girl Scouts and you find out what the Girl Scouts are doing with their national conventions, some shocking things. Now, you showed me these websites this morning. It's the first time I've ever seen this. Okay, you know who shows up at these Girl Scout conventions in America? I mean, guys, just check it out on the GirlScouts.com websites. And you're going to find that the people showing up are lesbians, lots and lots of lesbians. I didn't realize there are this many lesbians leading this country, but they certainly show up in Girl Scout conventions across America. This one was October of 2011 in Houston, Texas. And the first openly homosexual mayor in the United States, which happens to be Anise Parker, showed up at the convention. Okay, so a lesbian. By the way, her lesbian partner, Kathy Hubbard, is the treasurer for Planned Parenthood PAC. So apparently there is this unholy alliance between the Girl Scouts and Planned Parenthood. Also, Sarah Bareilles is a prominent voice for the gay lesbian agenda. She performed for the 2009 Long Beach Lesbian and Gay Rights Celebration. She lends her image and voice to the YouTube video, President Obama, Will You Say I Do campaign supporting gay marriage. She's joined the True Colors tour as a vehicle to entertain as well as engage audiences to take part in the advancement of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender equality. Anyway, this woman showed up at the Girl Scouts conference down in Houston. We've also got Joe D. Winterhoff, who's the vice president of the relief organization CARE, a leading international abortion provider. She was also there. She's also worked for Emily's List. As you know, the Emily's List is one of the most pro-abortion PACs in America. She was there at the Girl Scout convention as well. Here's another guy, Swanee Hunt. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a guy. I'm sorry. It's not a guy.
You were looking at the picture, weren't you?
Yeah, I was looking at the picture. I'm sorry. This woman, Swanee Hunt, is also a woman who supports partial birth abortion. She's the national co-chair of pro-abortion Dick Gephardt's 2004 presidential campaign, et cetera, et cetera. Here's another person, CJ Golden. And her website, Towel Girl, connects girls to explicit graphic sex information through girlzone.com. She's also involved with an organization called iEmily, advice on masturbation, intercourse, and other things that probably we shouldn't be talking about on the air. But there she is at the Girl Scout convention. Here is a Monique Coleman. She is the high school musical actress who showed up at the Girl Scout convention as well. And Coleman's site, GimmeMo.com, promotes homosexuality through the veil of anti-bullying. One feature video, I Am Who I Am, So Are You, features a gay couple making crude sexual comments about meeting the first time. Here's another visitor to the National Girl Scout Conference down in Houston, Sylvia Garcia, prominent abortion rights advocate, CEO of National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. She's praised by Planned Parenthood CEO Cecile Richards at the NELEO's 28th Annual Conference. And then we have Katie Couric. And we all know who Katie Couric is, so we don't need to go there. But she, again, is pretty involved liberal in America. Dana Agamalian is a committee member for Planned Parenthood of Orange County. She was at the National Convention for the Girl Scouts in Houston. Deborah Gano is a New Age guru whose Facebook groups for girls links them to pro-abortion groups as well. Marley Matlin is an advocate for gay marriage. She's also an actress. She has starred in the Showtime series that promotes lesbianism, The L Word, playing a deaf sculptor in a lesbian relationship. Then there's Catherine Reynolds, who apparently is a Planned Parenthood's fan. She considers Margaret Sanger as a role model for herself. And then Kathy Cloninger is the recent CEO of GSUSA, admits transforming GSUSA with Brian Bacon of Oxford Leadership Academy, a training guru who has an extensive history with cult brainwashing techniques. In other words, he helped her push forward her personal agenda to change Girl Scouting away from personal development to groupthink activism. She's also, during her speech at the National Convention, expressed her disappointment that not all girls are working for social change, wanting to be leaders who change the world. She pines for a gender-balanced leadership and to change the image of the Gold Award, and so on and so on. Dave, a lot of lesbians, a lot of pro-aborts, a lot of liberals. I guess that's pretty much what the Girl Scouts have become.
Right, and it should be pointed out, these are the speakers. This is the speaker lineup.
Yeah.
Not one of them was standing up for things like, oh, chastity. In fact, I went to the Girl Scout website and I did a search. They have a search box, so I did a search in the engine. I searched on the word meek. I got no hits.
Not one hit.
Not one. I searched under.
Did you try quiet spirit?
I did.
Quiet spirit. Okay.
No hits.
No hit. How about learning in silence?
I didn't try that. But
saved
I,
by childbearing.
Nope.
Okay. Didn't try that.
Chastity. No hits. You know.
No hits.
Yeah.
Nothing on chastity.
No.
Not the Girl Scout website.
Nope.
Ladies and gentlemen, at what point do Christians say, hey, come out from among them, be separate? Dave, I know a lot of Christians that are, again, sending their daughters into the Girl Scouts. You see this a lot. Dave, you know, with their pro-lesbian, pro-abortion message, with their unholy alliance with Planned Parenthood, you'd think that Christians would say, I've got to stay away from that organization. Now, Dave, imagine for a moment that you had a son who was doing well in culinary skills and you thought, well, I'm going to send him down to a culinary school. He's 15, 16 years of age. You think it'd give him a little culinary training. But it turns out that this particular school also had tracks and entire conferences on preparing human flesh. Cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would that give you any pause to say, maybe this isn't exactly what I need for my son? Would it give any pause at all? I mean, the entire conventions, and they bring in guys who really focus on the area of preparing human flesh for human consumption.
My guess is you'd probably want to find a different culinary school.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Because he might invite you over for dinner, and you're just not sure how that's going to work out.
Precisely. My thoughts precisely. Ladies and gentlemen, the Girl Scouts of America organization is getting worse and worse. It's feminist to the core. Dave, I think initially it was feminist. I think that Christians had a hard time discerning it because Christians don't understand what feminism is. Feminism is cultivating an independent spirit among women. And that's just wrong. It's just wrong. The independent spirit is wrong. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's very, very clear. The man is not to be independent of the woman. The woman is not to be independent of the man. And creating a fractured family by means of feminism, an individualism of feminism, has been devastating to this country. Dave, I'd say you ought to say no to the Girl Scout cookies, too. I mean, I don't want to support lesbianism. I don't want to support Planned Parenthood, and I don't want to support abortion. And if that be the case, I'm not buying Girl Scout cookies. Now, I suppose if you take a big, fat, black magic marker and say, here, give me that box, and you start marking out all of the references to the Girl Scouts of America on all the boxes, then maybe we're not promoting that organization anymore, and I'd be willing to buy it, okay? Maybe so. Maybe it's not food offered to idols anymore if I have the opportunity to scratch out references to the Girl Scouts of America on the boxes of the Girl Scout cookies offered to me at Safeway.
Those are some pretty expensive cookies you're eating, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to, at some point, a Christian has to say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
I understand that. I understand that. But
where you spend your money, actually, you know, it does count.
It does. And I don't want to promote a wicked organization that is, according to its own website, doesn't promote godly womanhood. It just doesn't. I don't see anything that promotes godly womanhood. The vision of the Girl Scouts of America is antithetical to a biblical vision for womanhood, friends. It's antithetical to it. You show me one thing. Okay, they make their own cookies. They teach the girls to make cookies.
No, they don't. They buy cookies and resell them.
They buy them from China or somewhere. Okay. Well, okay. So, you know, and if you're going to buy cookies for my daughter Abigail. This sweet little Abigail and Tally.
They're fresher.
They run down the Safeway and they sell their own homemade cookies. And you know, Abigail came back with $45-$50 the other day. She gave it all to an orphanage in Africa. Okay, here's the deal. Stop supporting Planned Parenthood. Stop supporting Girl Scouts of America. They kill their kids. Okay, buy cookies from Abigail, my daughter. She supports orphanages in Africa with the money that she gets. Okay? Is that clear, everybody? If you're shopping in Elizabeth, Colorado, you run into Tally or Abigail selling cookies outside of Safeway, the grocery store down in Elizabeth. You buy them from my little girls, and you know what? They support orphanages in Africa. Okay.
But not abortions in America.
Right. We don't support Planned Parenthood. Girl Scouts of America does. Please, I beg of you, do not buy Girl Scout cookies. Please, I beg of you. Stop buying Girl Scout cookies. And if you do, take a big black magic marker and cross out every reference to Girl Scouts of America on all the signs and all the boxes, because we don't want to promote that organization. Well, Dave, I mean, the Word of God gives us the vision for godly womanhood. And you know that the Girl Scouts of America is pretty much what the Democrats said about Mrs. Romney. Now, I'm not going to say that I endorse the Romneys. We'll talk about that on a later program. But when the Democrats and the Girl Scouts of America and all the lesbian mayors from Houston and everybody else came out and said, she's never had a job in her life. Do you remember that, Dave?
Yes, I do.
She's never had a job in her life. What has she done for the betterment of mankind? She's never had a job. She's not independent. She's not out there with her little business suit having 4 abortions and 6 divorces, and she's not burning herself out by the time she's 57. All she is a lousy mom. That's all she's ever done. When Fox News reported on that, Dave, I saw the picture of Mrs. Romney surrounded by 45 people, and I asked the question, who are these people? You know, she's never done a cotton-picking thing in her life, okay? That's what we were reading, the Democrats and Planned Parenthood and all these pro-abortion Girl Scout people. They're saying, what in the world has she done for anything that's good in her life? What has she fulfilled in her life? And there she is sitting in the middle of 45 people. I'm thinking, who are these people?
I think they were her children.
They look like children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
Lots of them. I'm thinking to myself, maybe she has done a thing or two. You know, obviously she hasn't birth imploded Western civilization. So that's one thing she hasn't done.
Right.
And she probably hasn't aborted, you know, 4.8 kids.
Here's something else she may have done. You know, Mitt Romney is very successful in business. Again, I'm not endorsing the man. I'm just saying he's been very successful in business.
Sure.
There's an old adage behind every successful man is a good woman helping spur him on. You know what? Maybe it wasn't just Mitt. Maybe it was Mitt and his wife that were doing good in business.
Well, what has happened, friends? What has happened is a disintegration of marriage, a disintegration of the family, thanks to feminists and thanks to every single mom and dad who trains their daughter to be independent. Thanks to the Girl Scouts. That recommend that every girl be liberated, that every girl be completely separate from her family. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the cause of the breakdown of Western civilization. This is why you get a birth implosion in South Korea moving from 6.0 down to 1.1 in just a single generation, because you've got selfish, self-centered women who want to be alone, independent, and have their own independent vision apart from the family. And ladies and gentlemen, we're here to tell you that the woman is created for the man to be a helpmeet for the man in the dominion mission. And unless we have a recovered unity within marriage and within the economic viewpoint of the average family, unless they understand that there is a unity in that economy, unless they begin to understand that, we're going to continue to see a fragmenting of the family. And women will not get married, and they'll get divorced, and they'll get divorced, and they'll get divorced. Why? Because the unity of the marriage has been undermined by the ideology that's being taught through the universities and through the Girl Scouts and through just about every single media source out there. Folks, we need to bring back the unity of the marriage, the idea that the family makes an oikonomia, that the heart of her husband does safely rest in her so that he shall have no need to spoil. Proverbs 31, it's not the heart of her corporate boss. It is not the heart of her slave master. It's not the heart of her big old bureaucracy, Barack Obama and everybody that turns out, controls her entire life and tells her what to do and eventually gives her some Social Security and then euthanizes her at the end. No. We're not talking about that relationship. We're talking about an economic relationship in the family whereby that family unit is established and that security is established. And that woman feels like she is part of the economic well-being of a household, not a big corporation and not a big government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a completely different economic theory, and it comes from the Bible, comes from Proverbs chapter 31, comes from the idea that these people had family economies for 5,900 years until the present day, where the children were moved away from the families at the beginning of the industrial age, eventually were bought off by the state. The state took control of the children by means of child labor laws, by means of the compulsory attendance laws. And then the women, the same thing happened to the women. They moved away from the home, off to their own corporate jobs, and eventually they were owned by the corporations, and now they're being sold off to the government by means of socialist medical care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's going on right now, is a massive, massive disintegration of the family economy. The children have been sold off to the government as of 100, 150 years ago. The women are following suit, and so the family is hardly a viable unit anymore. Our goal: bring back the family unit. Bring back the family economy. Bring back a unity of the family in terms of their involvement in the economics, in terms of their involvement in the social systems, in terms of their involvement in education, in terms of their involvement in politics. We need to reintegrate the family in the present day. Almost every institution has been focused on the family to disintegrate the family and to break it to pieces. And that's why 53% of kids born to young women today, 30 years of age and younger, are born out of wedlock. 53%, up from just a couple of percentage points a generation ago. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the way you raise your daughters really matters. Really, really matters. And whether or not you send them to college, that decision is a very important decision. Dave, you're going through that right now. I'm going through that right now. Emily, my oldest daughter has just graduated from high school. I mean, she's got one more test to take. I mean, it's just about done. She finished physics. She's going to wrap up world history. She's 18 years old. She's finished her high school curriculum. Now what? It's a big decision. Am I going to move her into a different social environment and prepare her for a whole new social theory? Do I want her to amalgamate into the social theory that completely dominates our world today? Or do I want her to understand a biblical social theory and live out a biblical social theory? The way I will transition my daughter into adulthood really, really, really matters. And you can ruin your kids and your grandkids. You can utterly ruin them by giving them the wrong worldview and the wrong social view. And a lot of times that happens through the college experience. I'm not saying that college is wrong. Not saying it's malum in se, but I am saying choose wisely. Don't be an idiot. Be discerning. Understand what a biblical approach to raising sons and raising daughters is all about, and be very, very careful how you do it.
In other words, keep the end goal in mind. Sure. Are you trying to create a woman who's going to compete with men in the marketplace? Are you trying to create a woman who will be a helpmeet to a man so that he can compete in the marketplace? Those are vastly different goals. And which goal you choose will in large part determine how it is you raise your child, even when she's 18 years old and finished high school.
At the very least, friends, use the biblical vision. Okay, God knows what he's talking about. I know that the world tells you it's all about the 53% having kids out of wedlock. I know that's the goal. I know that divorce, and I know that independence, and I know that whatever the world is saying is very attractive to you. But I'm saying that's a recipe for disaster. So get back to the Word of God and start using the visionary words provided by God's Word in meek and quiet spirit. Saved by childbearing, modest in dress. These are important to God. And is your average college going to prepare them for that vision? You really think so? You go ask them. You go ask those professors. Does this play in at all in your vision? You ask them that. Does the help meet for your husband and becoming the oikos despoteo, the manager of the home, important to you? And that's one reason why I think we ought to train our daughters in some management skills, some delegation skills and such. But it's a home-centric approach. These are the sorts of things that the Bible brings out. And, you know, you don't get a lot of that from the world. So start with that. And you know what? Here's a good question. Meek and quiet spirit's important. Apparently, it's really important. God loves a meek and quiet spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2. God loves it. He loves it. He wants a meek and quiet spirit. So does your daughter joining the mud wrestling team at the local high school really contribute to that goal? Ask yourself that question. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. What about that team sport over there? What about joining the men's wrestling team? And is that going to really, really hone the meek and quiet spirit in your daughter according to what God has laid out in his word? Is that going to accomplish the goal that you want? Okay, you've got to have the right vision, the right goals in mind. Got to get it from the word of God if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, I'm sure you don't care about what I'm saying, and you're going to be part of your 53% illegitimacy rates and the destruction of the family in the modern world, and you're going to take your chances with that. But if you're a Christian, then are you going to take 1 Timothy 2 really seriously and raise your daughters with the right vision in mind? And if you get the vision right, then God bless you in the preparation. You got to get creative in how you prepare your young daughters for life. And you're going to need God's wisdom. You better get down on your knees and start praying to God that he helps you to prepare, because there's not a lot of institutions that will help you accomplish the vision that God has laid out. So may God give you the vision and the creativity for this. I need it, Dave. I tell you what, I mean, we're just talking to Emily all the time. You know, she's got a lot of skills. We want to hone those skills. She's a tremendous manager, huge manager. I mean, she can manage projects like nobody I know. Our household economy is extremely busy. And I tell you, you know, I don't know how many millions of dollars we pump through all the ministries and things that we do, but Emily does a lot of good, mm-hmm. in a lot of the projects we've got going. And by the way, friends, let me say this. This is the final point I want to make. If there's a dad out there that does not have a family economy, he's probably not going to be able to keep his daughters busy, and that's going to be tough. He's going to have to get creative on creating family economies. And that's why our family economics conferences are so vitally important for the salvaging of sons and daughters and the vision that God has laid out for us. So if you'd like information on the family economics vision, we've got a great MP3 with some 27 talks from the last conference. This is the best production we've ever done on family economics topics. And you folks, you need to get that at our website, kevinswanson.com. Also, there's some DVDs there as well you might want to pick up. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like more information on family economies and raising daughters for a family economy and really fulfilling the vision that God has laid out for young daughters in the Word of God, grab a copy of some of our information on our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.